The studio became a silent, still place. The girls slackening in their work, hands no longer lifting brushes to mouths at breakneck pace. Given they could scarcely work, production declined and Radium Dial took action, calling in experts to run medical tests. Marie Becker Rossiter watched proceedings with a beady eye. She noted that they separated the girls. Some of the girls they took upstairs, away from the other ones. They tested both groups, but separately. The women didn't know why. Was it to do with those other tests the company had run back in 1925? But those results had never been shared with the girls, so they did not know. Divided into their groups, the women apprehensively went to meet the doctors. The physicians checked to see if the girls had radioactive breath. Using the tests the Newark doctors had devised, they also took X-rays and blood. Catherine Wolfe was tested, Peg Looney, Marie Rossiter. Helen Munk, who was about to leave the firm to marry, also blew into the machine. The girls, reassured that the firm was looking after their best interests, returned to their desks and waited for the results that, they hoped, would set their minds at ease. But the results never came. "When I asked for a report on the examination," Catherine recalled, "I was told that this information could not be given out." She and Marie conferred about it. Didn't they have a right to know? Marie, always forthright, determined that they shouldn't take it lying down. Full of fear and indignation, she and Catherine confronted Mr. Reed. Their manager adjusted his glasses somewhat awkwardly and then made an expansive gesture. "Why, my dear girls," he said to them paternally, "if we were to give the medical reports to you girls, there would be a riot in the place." He almost seemed to make a joke of it. That response clearly didn't settle the girls' nerves, though Catherine later said, "Neither of us then realised what he meant." Mr. Reed, seeing their uncertainty, continued, "Don't worry. There is no such thing as radium poisoning. There is nothing to these stories of radium poisoning." "Are the workers in danger?" Marie demanded. "You don't have anything to worry about," the superintendent repeated. "It's safe." Nonetheless, the girls continued to devour the newspaper daily, seeing more horror stories that shot bolts of fear right through them. And then, 3 days after the announcement of the New Jersey girls' settlement, with tensions in the studio still running high, there was a big piece on page 3 of the local paper that completely supported their superintendent's statements. The women all pointed it out to each other and read on with ever-lightening shoulders. It was a full-page ad placed by the Radium Dial Company, and here, at last, the girls learned the results of their recent tests. "We have at frequent intervals had thorough medical examinations made by technical experts familiar with the conditions and symptoms of the so-called radium poisoning," read the company statement. "Nothing even approaching such symptoms or conditions has ever been found by these men." Thank God. The results were clear. They were not going to die. And the company reassured them further. If their reports had been unfavourable or if we at any time had reason to believe that any conditions of the work endangered the health of our employees, we would at once have suspended operations. The health of our employees is always foremost in the minds of company officials.